Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
That you joined us today. You know, it's Daylight Savings Weekend, so we can all be grateful for that extra hour of sleep, unless you have small children in your home, like I do. And my 7-year-old woke up today at 4:45 in the morning. And I just want to say, why? Now, parents who are older than me tell me that my children are someday going to be grateful for sleep, but can anyone tell me when? When is that going to happen? Well, today I'm launching us into a brand new series called Grateful, an invitation to give thanks, where we're going to explore this whole area of gratitude and thanksgiving and gratefulness. You know, gratitude is kind of trendy right now, isn't it? You can go to the store and you can get a journal, a gratitude journal, where you can list out the things that you're thankful for each day. You know, families have gratitude jars on their counters where they're encouraged to jot down the things that they're thankful for. You know, just a quick search on Instagram and you can find 26.7 hashtag grateful posts that people are posting all over the world. I think it's safe to say that gratitude is trending. And yet it can be difficult to maintain an attitude of gratitude. You know, in a world that's often filled with pain and disappointment, when things don't go the way that we planned, it can be hard to be thankful for everything. It can be hard to be thankful when our child is sick, or when we lose our job, or when our elderly parent is suffering. Gratitude is also challenging because we live in a world where we can so easily see what other people have and what we don't have. Does anyone else find it annoying how quickly our brain goes to what we don't have, how it could be better, and why we have to have things like the way they are in our lives? You know, have you noticed that gratitude is often not our natural response when it comes to being discouraged or feeling squeezed or going through pain? No, our natural response is often complaining, comparing, and worrying. And yet gratitude carries with it a disproportionate kind of power. In fact, they've done study after study on the benefits of gratitude, and they're not just spiritual. They're relational, they're emotional, they're physical. And yet we find ourselves often not tapping in to this incredible gift of gratitude. I believe it's one of the most underutilized weapons that our Father has given us. That's right, I said weapon. Because you see, unlike the world that might be expressing thanks like into the air, when we, as children of God, express thanks to our Father, we're thanking a person. We're thanking Him for who He is. We're thanking Him for how He operates, how He's moving and working on our behalf. And you see, what happens is when we thank our Father, we tap in to a supernatural grace to go through circumstances and go through pain with His power flowing out and through us. You see, God's will for us is that we live a life of gratitude. Most of us know that there are many problems in our life that we can't fix. But thanksgiving and gratitude can change our perspective. And so today we begin a 4-week journey where we want to talk about, we want to discover, we want to wrestle with, what does it mean to be people of gratitude? What does it mean to live a grateful life? And we're going to talk about being thankful in everything. And we're going to talk about the physical and emotional and spiritual benefits of gratitude. We're going to talk about how are we grateful in hard times and how are we grateful in good times. And I'm really excited for what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to teach us about His best way for our life, a life of gratitude. And so I'm going to invite Him today to be the teacher and be in our presence. So Holy Spirit, we invite You here today to be the teacher, to teach us about gratitude, God. And we just say, come Holy Spirit and have Your way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I love the whole church, and I love the purpose and the mission of the church to bring people into relationship with Jesus. But I will admit that the church over many years has done damage to people as they've misinterpreted scripture, which leads to not understanding or misunderstanding who God is and how he operates. And one of the messages that I feel that the church has pushed on people for years is that we have to be thankful for everything. We're taught that God wants our thankfulness. He wants our gratitude. And no matter what, we need to be thankful for what happens in our life. No matter the pain, no matter the disappointment, we're supposed to be thankful. Now, I am known as Joyful Julie. That is my nickname. And I will readily admit that I am an optimist and I am a glass half full type person. But I myself have struggled and wrestled here. God, am I supposed to be thankful for everything that happens in my life? When I was in high school, I was never asked to a dance. True story, I was actually never asked on a date till like 2 weeks before my senior, like I graduated. Thank you, God, that I felt rejected and unlikable. When I was in my 20s, I was diagnosed with PCOS, which is a condition with your ovaries, and I was told that I probably would have trouble conceiving. Thank you, God, that I have this condition that's going to make it hard to be a mother. Okay. Mike, for many years, he worked in the biotech field, and I'll never forget the day that he came home from work and he told me that he'd been laid off. I was 3 months pregnant. And truthfully, he was very thankful because he did not like that job, and so he was excited. But I was not excited. I was like, we need money. We need insurance. Thank you, God, that I don't have an income or insurance right now. Mike and I lead the staff here, and over the last few years, many people on our staff have gone through really painful things. They've gone through cancer and miscarriage and family crisis. Am I supposed to be thanking God for all of these things happening in our team's life? I don't know about you, but man, this is hard. Is this what God's asking of us, that we're thankful for everything? Because to me, it feels like it takes so much willpower and personal strength and perseverance. And even worse, I'm tempted to fake my thanksgiving. What have you believed that you are to be thankful for? Because I believe that when we think we have to be thankful for everything, it directly relates how we feel about our Father in heaven. It affects our relationship with him. Because what happens is as trouble and trial comes into our life, we begin to ask ourselves questions like, is God sending bad stuff into my life? Can I trust him? Is there some master blueprint of my life and God's like micromanaging the details and it's filled with pain and disappointment and I'm supposed to be thankful for all of this stuff? Am I supposed to ignore my feelings and just fake it till I make it? Is God really a good father? And I think all of these questions, these are questions that we wrestle with. I've wrestled with these questions. And so today I want to focus in on two of those questions. And I want to focus our conversation. I want to talk about, is God sending bad stuff in my life? And how can I cultivate a life of gratitude despite my circumstances? What does God's word say about that? Okay, I'm going to turn now to 1 Thessalonians 5, and you can turn there if you want to, because Paul has some instructions for us on living this life of gratitude. And this is what he writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Short, simple, sweet, definitely not easy. So this is Paul's recipe for us. He says, always be joyful. Now, I think that we need to make the distinction here that the joy he's talking about is oftentimes not rooted in a feeling. It's rooted in a truth. It's rooted in who God is. But he invites us into this joy-filled life. He says, rejoice always. In another translation that I've really been loving lately, the Passion Translation, it says, let joy be your continual feast. I just love that language. So we're invited into this life of joy. And then Paul says, never stop praying. Now, he doesn't mean like you can't have a conversation or a job, so you can't use this verse as an excuse to be lazy or anything like that. No, what he's saying here is never stop having a conversation with your father about what's going on in your life. He wants you to continue this conversation with God so that you can tell him what's happening in your life. And then Paul makes a very important distinction. He uses a word, a preposition, which changes everything. Did you catch it? He said, we are called to be thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. You see, you don't have to be thankful for the bad day, or for the bad relationship, or for the financial stress in your life, or for the brokenness in your life. No. What Paul's saying here is that we get to be thankful in these circumstances. Because you see, when we choose to be thankful in a circumstance, what we are saying is we are saying we trust our Father to work things together for our good. And that's what we want to be. We want to be children who trust their Father. Now, I think there's a dilemma here, because many of us have been taught that we must be thankful for everything. And that belief is actually tied to another belief. The next belief it's tied to is that God is behind everything that happens in your life. I'm going to talk about theology here for a minute, and theology is simply the way that we view God. It's what we believe about who he is and how he operates, how he interacts with us. And you see, if we believe that we must be thankful for everything because God is behind everything, I'm going to tell you right now that it is going to be hard to live a grateful and thankful life. And so we need to examine, what do we actually believe about how God operates? And specifically, I think there's two things we need to examine. We need to examine, what do we believe about God's goodness, and what do we believe about God's sovereignty? Now, I wish I had more time to talk about this. I only have a few minutes. But the truth is, the church has been fighting over these two issues for hundreds of years. I have a few minutes. You can pray for me. Okay, so I want to start first with the basic premise of this, that God is good and God is sovereign. Do you agree? Yes, good. I agree too. We're off to a good start. But what I want us to consider today is how we've defined God's goodness and God's sovereignty, because it's going to change everything when it comes to our ability to live this grateful life. And so the first thing I want to look at is a worldview, and I'm going to call this worldview the cosmic blueprint worldview. In this world, we see God's sovereignty as simple. God's will always happens. He ordains everything that happens in our lives. In fact, we could even say he micromanages what happens to us. But because there's brokenness in the world, like bad stuff happens in our lives, it must mean that his goodness is complicated. Now hear me say, he is good, but sometimes he has to send bad stuff into our life, and eventually it's going to be good. The ends are going to justify the means with which we got there. And so when evil things come into our life, sometimes God's sending those evil things to us so that he can teach us. So some of us are right here. We believe that God's sovereignty is simple and his goodness is complicated. And this affects so many things in our lives. God takes your child, but hey, God's good. God ordains for you to be fired, but hey, God's good. God's will is that you're rejected and lonely, but hey, God's good. So many of us believe this. We believe that God is sending pain into our life, that his goodness is complicated. And we use phrases like, everything happens for a reason, or God works in mysterious ways, or what will be, will be. And so what happens is we begin to believe that there's this blueprint for our lives, that God is behind every single thing that happens in our life. So I guess we have to be thankful for everything that happens because God's sending it. And so we live in this place where we just have to accept what God's will is. Like, we might not like it, we may wish it was different, but, you know, God's in charge. And so his will, you know, is always happening, and so his goodness is complicated. So when Mike loses his job and we're without an income and without insurance, it must have just been God's will that Mike lost his job. You know, I mean, I was 3 months pregnant, so I was extremely emotionally stable. And so God really wanted to, like, see if, like, my perseverance could be developed through this, because I was just so, you know, rational. But that's actually what we believe. We believe in this worldview that through time and perspective and perseverance, somehow we're going to see that what God sent into our life is ultimately good for us. And I am just here today to say to you that this is going to make it incredibly challenging for us to live a life of gratitude. So many people believe this. I have believed this. And so I stand here today not in condemnation, not in judgment, but I stand here today to say I think there's a better way to view God. I think there's a better way to understand his love and authority in our lives. And that's what I want to talk about right now. You know, in the Vineyard, we embrace something called kingdom theology. And what kingdom theology means is this. We believe that when Jesus came, that he brought the kingdom of heaven with him. He brought the authority, the presence, and the power of heaven to earth. And when Jesus came, he brought with him the ability to heal people and set them free and release them from demons and bring hope and restoration into their lives. But the kingdom is not fully here. Yes, Jesus defeated the enemy when he died on the cross, but we will not have the full kingdom. We won't have heaven until Jesus comes back. And so we are kingdom people. And we like to say it like this, that we live in the already, but the not yet. That means that we can pray for the kingdom to break into right now, into 2018. We can pray for healing. We can pray for restoration. And sometimes we see the kingdom of God break in. But have you ever asked yourself, why doesn't everybody get healed? Why do some people die when they're not supposed to die? The answer is that the kingdom of God is here, but not fully here. And so we embrace this idea that there is a battle and that we are men and women, we are warriors, we are soldiers in God's army, and we are sent to extend the kingdom and to expand the kingdom. And so that's part of our role as Christ followers. And so we believe in kingdom theology. Now, with that lens of kingdom theology, I want to suggest another worldview. We've talked about the cosmic blueprint where God's will always happens and his goodness is complicated. Now, I want to talk about the cosmic battle world. Okay? In this world, God is good and God is sovereign because we believe that God is good and God is sovereign. But in this world, God's goodness, it's simple. God is good. He never sends sickness or death or disease or pain or brokenness into our lives. The Father is the author of all things good, and the enemy is the author of all things evil. And he is the one who sends brokenness and pain and tragedy into our lives. And so if God's goodness is simple, then that must mean his sovereignty is complicated in the cosmic battle. And that's true. That's what we believe. We believe that God is the ultimate sovereign. He truly is. He is the ultimate sovereign. But he chooses to not exercise his authority in a way that means his will always happens. He's given free choice. And the way that he's chosen to operate is out of relationship. And so what it means to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is not synonymous with his will always happening in our lives. And so that means that when things happen in our lives, when there's pain, when there's brokenness, when there's frustration, when there's things... we first say to ourselves, is this good or is this evil? And we're going to run it through that lens. Now, I'm not saying, do I like this and do I not like this? Or is this comfortable or is this uncomfortable? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm actually talking about morally, is this good or evil? And then we run it through this lens. And how do we know what's good? We know what's good because it's been biblically revealed through the person and life of Jesus in Scripture. And so what Jesus stood for, what he represented, that is how we know what is good. And so what happens is that God's will does not always happen in our life. There is a battle that we are going through. But you know what happens when we understand that we're in a cosmic battle? that it's not all laid out, we become active partakers. We become active participants, where we realize, wait a minute, we factor into God's complicated sovereignty. We understand that the kingdom is here, but not fully here. And suddenly, we become part of the story that God's writing. It's not just, well, what will be. No! We believe that the kingdom of God can break in, can change the situation, can bring hope and freedom. And this changes everything. So when Mike loses his job, we don't say, well, I guess this was just the Lord's will. No! We say this is an attack from the enemy, but we know that our God is good, and we know he's going to provide an even better job. And that's actually exactly what happened. Because that's how God operates. But here's the difference. See, I was empowered to be thankful in those circumstances because I never believed for once that God made Mike lose his job. Because that's not how our God operates. And so when we realize, you know what, I don't have to be thankful for everything that happens in my life because God's not behind everything, but I am invited into this life of thanksgiving in circumstances. And how do we participate? Paul told us, rejoice, pray, give thanks in all circumstances. That's how we get to become kingdom partners in this whole thing. You see, when we embrace kingdom theology, we must embrace the cosmic battle viewpoint. These two things go hand in hand. See, the kingdom theology, it basically implies God's simple goodness and his complicated sovereignty. There is a battle that is waging. We know the end of the book. I hope you know the end of the book. God wins. But in the meantime, there are things, there is going to be pain and trouble that we're going to face. But this is the confidence that we can have. I love Romans 8:28, if my Bible wasn't upside down. That always helps. This promise in Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." This is the promise of our lives, that God is working all things together, that he is good, that he is sovereign, but the way that we've defined those, they haven't helped us as we've tried to walk in this life of gratitude. So we must embrace kingdom theology and this cosmic battle viewpoint. Okay, with those two things, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians for a minute, and let's reread those instructions that Paul had with these glasses on. Okay, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You know, it's so much easier to be joyful when you know that your Father's not sending bad things into your life. When you know you actually don't have to be joyful for the pain, you can be joyful in the pain. We're so used to associating joy with our feelings. But you know the invitation here? The invitation here is that we rejoice in the truth of God's goodness. See, that's how we can tap into joy. Joy is not always a feeling. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we just need to walk in the truth that God is working on our behalf. Never stop praying. You know what? When we understand that we're in a cosmic battle, it changes the way we pray because we realize that we're engaging spiritual dynamics that release heaven here on earth. We're not praying prayers of, well, Lord, I guess this is just the way it's going to be. No, we're praying prayers that are filled with faith, filled with passion, filled with hope that our Father who loves us, who's good, would hear us and release his kingdom more fully here. It's a deep mystery, but this is why Jesus says to us, we must persist in prayer, because God knows prayer changes things, and it can change the situation that you're facing right now. And then those instructions that we are to be thankful in everything, but did you notice at the end of the verse it said, for this is the Lord's will for those of you who belong to Christ Jesus. This is all about a family. We belong to our Father. We are sons and daughters of our Father. And it's out of that relationship with our Father that he's a good Father, that he has good things for us, that we can trust in his goodness, that we can trust in his faithfulness, that we are then empowered to be thankful in all circumstances. It's a beautiful, beautiful mystery of how God wants to move in us so that we can live this grateful life. You know, I recognize that I'm young. I will admit that my 20-year high school reunion is a little close for comfort, but we're not going to talk about that today. But I thought it would be helpful to share a story of a woman who has lived this message her whole life, who's actually been a woman of joy and prayer and thanksgiving. And so today I get to tell the story of Dina Schumacher. And Bruce and Dina have been part of our church family for over 15 years. And for the last 5 years, Dina has been serving as our Hope Center Executive Director and Pastoral Care Overseer. And you know, I've watched Dina over these last few years really walk through many challenging situations, many challenging circumstances, and yet she just seems to radiate joy. She is a woman of prayer. She is a woman who really lives this thankful, grateful life. And so I asked to share a bit of her story. You know, Dina was raised in a wonderful family, but like all of us, her life has been filled with highs and lows, ups and downs, challenges. And yet she has remained rooted in this practice of thanksgiving. And so as I tell you her story, I just want to remind you of two things. Our anchor point as we live this grateful life is in God's goodness and his faithfulness, first and foremost. And then secondly, we remember that we are in this cosmic battle. We're in this cosmic war, and we're kingdom people sent to advance his kingdom and to break in with his kingdom power. So that when we receive bad news, when we hear bad news, we get to choose to engage in the practice of thanksgiving, thanking him in all things. Well, it was the spring of 2015 when Dina first received the bad news that her father had stage 4 Merkel cell skin cancer. And it had gone straight to his lymph nodes and had gone all over his body, but specifically to his liver, consuming 2/3 of his liver. This was devastating news to the family. You know, Dina's father for many years had been a professor at the University of Illinois. He was a vibrant man. He was a dedicated and caring family man. And they watched him begin to go through this journey. And by July of 2015, he was a shell of his former self. He was barely speaking. The radiation had really affected his hearing. The chemo was killing him faster than the cancer itself. And they were told that he had months to live. You know, it's moments like this where gratitude is just so challenging. It's not our natural response right here, right? To just stop and begin thanking God. But remember, we don't have to thank God for the cancer or for the bad news, but we can thank God in the bad news. And that's what Dina and her family made a decision to do as they headed into the fall. They chose to rejoice in the time that they had left. And so they began to prepare for the holidays. And they gathered that Thanksgiving to remember and to laugh and to hold this time and place in their hearts, to share stories. And Dina, who's always been a woman of prayer, she cried out to God. She prayed for the Father's kingdom to come, for breakthrough to happen, for her father's healing. She also prayed that her heart would be prepared if it was time to say goodbye. You see, thanksgiving and prayer so beautifully go together. Because when we stay in a thankful place, when we stay in a grateful place, our prayers are prayed with precision. We pray with the authority that God's given us. We don't pray out of desperation. We don't pray out of apathy. What will be will be. No, we pray with power, asking the Father to break in. And so that's just what she did. And Christmas came, and honestly, they endured Christmas. It was incredibly difficult to watch her father's health continue to decline. And at this point, they had been denied 3 non-FDA-approved medications. And they were told by the doctors, there's nothing more we can do. It was the day after that third denial letter came that a phone call came from a pharmaceutical company asking if her dad would be part of a trial. And they took it as an answer to prayer, and with grateful hearts, they accepted. And amazingly, this immunotherapy drug worked, and his health began to improve, And by the next spring, he was on the stage at the University of Illinois, handing out diplomas just like the good old days. You see, the kingdom of heaven had broken in as they had participated in giving thanks in all things. And this is just such a beautiful picture of how God wants us to partner with him. We're going to go through hard things. He wants us to use this weapon of gratitude so that we can face what feels impossible. And now as they head into their fourth Thanksgiving, not a day goes by that they are not grateful for the time that God has given them these last few years together as a family. This is what Dina writes. I am grateful. Grateful to God for allowing me to function well in the midst of a mess, to know what it means to struggle. Oftentimes, I've wanted to cry and give up and give myself a pity party, but I'm learning to pray more, to listen well, to put on worship music, and even sing old favorite songs. I've found that when I press into God, there is amazing joy that comes, and Jesus meets me, and he takes my hand, and he tells me I'm never alone. My life verse is 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. You know, honestly, this is just one of many stories that I could have shared from Dina's life. The truth is, some have amazing endings, some are in progress, and some have ended very painfully. Because that's just how life is. We don't have a guarantee of the things that we're going to go through, but we do have a guarantee of who's going to go in it with us. And that's the Holy Spirit. He's going to walk with you every step of the way. You know, is this still hard for me? All the time. This week. Yesterday. I have things in my life where I just cry out to God, God, move. And I'm tempted to ask the question, God, are you sending this to me? And then I remember him say to me, I am your good father. And I remember that I'm in a battle. And I remember that I can call upon heaven to break into the situation. You see, God is not bothered by our weakness because he's not asking for our strength. He's asking for our trust. He's asking for our trust in his goodness, our trust in his faithfulness, and our trust in his provision. And so today, I invite you into this journey of learning how to be grateful in all things. Jesus, we need you. We need your spirit. We need your perspective. God, so many of us are facing things, God, that are impossible, that our heart burns for change to come and for the kingdom to break in. And so right now, Holy Spirit, we just release your kingdom in this room and at Sullivan and Bloomington Normal and Vineyard Live, wherever people are listening, God, we just release the kingdom of heaven to invade earth. And we just speak breakthrough over your kids, God. God, right now, just a fresh dose of empowerment to be grateful and thankful in all things. God, we thank you that you don't send bad things to us. We thank you for your goodness, God. We thank you for your faithfulness. May we believe and receive, God, all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.